seriously with the candy again?
Because I didn't bring
water.
Wait
for me to hit. Go ahead, do the candy. I'll cut around it.
You don't have to cut around it. No, you just waste the light. All
it's
the okay. Time.
No, it's just all right. Game of Thrones starts in about 30 minutes. It's
it doesn't
fine.
Start in 30 minutes. We have an hour.
Fine.
I want to wash my hair before that.
Wash your hair? Uh-huh. What's it like having hair? I said I wasn't going to be self-defecating. I just defecated all over myself. Hey, everybody. In case you haven't guessed, this is the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
I'm Sandra.
This is Minute 84. We're just going to talk about the 84th minute. If you're if this is your first time listening to the show,
we're really sorry.
No, I just want to quickly explain what we do.
Well,
we
talk about that they've missed the other 83 minutes.
We talk about a minute of Blade Runner at a time.
No,
we pick a random minute.
No,
and we just talk about it.
We don't pick
in
a
no
random
particular
minute.
In no particular order. And we start. This is the first episode ever. We're starting with 84. 84 starts with Roy meeting Tyrell.
Mm-hmm.
84 ends with Tyrell explaining to Roy that he can't help him. It's not an easy thing to meet your maker, says Roy.
That's not how he says it.
Yes, he does.
He's way more dramatic like that than that.
He says it exactly like that. And at that point, the music...
It is so creepy.
...is swelling. And that Vangelis soundtrack is just doing special things to my sexy bits. And I thought I could share that. Should share that with all of you. Roy's right behind Sebastian, pushing him ahead. Why? Is the way I wrote that. Why does he need Sebastian so close to him right now? He's in the building.
He's a shield.
He's a human shield? What? Joe Turkle's got the machine gun behind his back?
He wants him to lead the way. But before you really see that he's pushing him, because he just looks like he's walking behind him at first.
Looks like he has a gun
Tyrell
to his back.
Tyrell says, what could he do for you?
It's not an easy... Right. Roy says it's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
And Tyrell says, what can he do for you?
And what can he do for you? I love the delivery,
then he's talking
man.
About himself in the third person. Like, he's God. I feel like it should be a capital H.
And that was my next question. Third person. Why? They didn't write that for him. I refuse to believe it. Just like the other line
there's
from the
so
last
much
minute.
In this movie is Joe that's
Turkle.
Written right.
This is Joe Turkle with suggestions to the writer.
But there's so many things in this, but I guess actors bring themselves to the to the role.
Oh, there's such a little detail that has been overlooked by me for the past, like, I don't know, 15 years. And I'm catching them now, and it's like watching the movie all over again for the first time. It's great. I mean, it's like watching the movie for the first time all over again. It's great.
Well, we know that Rutger Hauer ad-libbed and changed a lot, right? It stands to reason that most actors do once they get an idea of their characters. You know, I'm sure everyone's read that thing online about when the kids in Harry Potter got their roles, the director sent them home with homework to write an essay about what your character is. And Hermione, you know, Emma Watson came back with this giant thing that she wrote, this huge multi-page essay.
Right.
Daniel Radcliffe wrote in a page.
Oh, okay.
And Rupert Grint handed in nothing because he said Ron wouldn't do it.
Ron wouldn't do that.
Ron doesn't do his homework.
That's great.
And he was like, you guys all perfectly understand your characters.
Nailed it.
So I think that that's part of when you see this kind of magic happen on a screen, when an actor really understands the character and drive this driving force behind them, that they completely change. It's not Rutger Hauer on the screen anymore. It's not Joel Turkel on the screen anymore. That's Tyrell and Roy Batty about to have a battle of the minds.
Not to go off topic, but speaking of how you're talking about passion, you're talking about dedication, you're talking about actors that aren't just there for a paycheck. This is what they do. They love it. They feel it in their heart. And I'm such a fan of movies, and to a certain extent you are too, I think. And I meet people sometimes, and they're like, how do you remember actors' names, and what do you care about that little embroidery on Tyrell's robe or whatever? Like, who cares? I'm just watching the movie. Like, no, I care. I like these little details. And every now and then I feel a little pathetic that I'm putting too much effort, too much energy into the things that I like. Like, let's just keep it with movies. Forget about, like, video games and
I don't do that for newer actors, though.
But it's nice to know that it's not pathetic and it's not weird, because if the people involved in making this stuff are so passionate about it and take it so seriously that they get into arguments on the set about it, that for this scene, I believe, or it might have been the office scene with Terrell, but I think that's the same set, so maybe that's what they meant, the columns were installed upside down.
Mm-hmm. Are you reading off Amazon or from the book?
This is from the book.
Okay.
And what's his name? James Spader, who directed this? Jimmy Falcone?
No, I'm going to wait for you to do the thing again.
Ah, Shiffle Perez, Nigel Forsyth, Prickle Gine, Rochelle Junjibi, Fifi Long Smapple, Guy Ritchie, Seth Rollins, Dingle Porsche Snatcher.
Okay, wait, let me get comfortable.
I can't believe he's...
You've said his name 1,000 times in the last 6 months.
Gladiator and Alien... Ridley Scott. What is the matter with me?
See, you said you're not going to be self-deprecating.
Alright. It happens. I'm just tired. I'm a busy guy. I'm a dad. I work full time. It happens. So anyway, when what the fuck is his name? Dinglehopper Smith. When he saw that the... Ridley Scott. So when Ridley Scott saw that the columns were installed upside down, he says the columns were upside down. And the crew were like, who gives a shit? Nobody's going to notice. You're the only one that knows that it's upside down. It's still whatever, square or a shape. They're not going to know. He's like, no, fuck you. Flip them upside down. He waited hours. Then he had to relight. He didn't like the light. This was like 2 weeks into shooting. He was already behind schedule, over budget. That's how serious the people that make this stuff take it. So why can't I, as a fan, take it just as seriously and obsess over the movie so much so that I do a podcast where I review it 1 minute at a time? It makes me feel good to know.
Are we going
to
auction off your notes when you're done? Or your yellow legal pads that you used?
That's a... If somebody actually wanted my notes for the show, I'd be so touched. But, yeah,
you would pay them.
Nobody's going to care about my notes. Where were we? That took me so long,
but
I felt good about it.
We were talking about the details.
In what?
The attention to detail. We were talking about how serious actors are, and you went off on a tangent. What I was going to say is there's...
Oh, we were up to...
There are...
And what can he do for you?
I don't know
the third person. Why are they changing little
Rutger
lines?
Rutger Hauer or Joe Turkel are method actors in the way that...
Jim Carrey?
Let's say Christian Bale or...
Why not Jim Carrey? Why just smile when I said Jim Carrey?
Because...
There's that Netflix documentary about him.
I
doing
haven't watched
Man on,
it.
Man on the Moon.
You know, I don't... There's two things I want to say. The first is that I don't really pay attention to the newer actors... In the same way.
Who's a newer actor? Give me an example.
Okay, so I was watching The Greatest Showman yesterday for the, like 3 days ago.
That's with Wolverine?
Yeah, with Hugh Jackman.
What is that, The Prestige 2?
No, it's about Barnum, P.T. Barnum.
The Prestige 2.
No, it's not at all. And there's, you know, made up characters for the movie, even though it's supposed to be a biography of this guy.
Right.
And I, for the life of me, could not remember this other male actor's name, and I had to Google it. And I'm like, I bet it's Zac Efron, because I don't know any of these youngsters. I was like, it's either Zac Efron or that other guy with the hair who was on, like, Gilmore Girls or something. I was like, I don't know these things. And lo and behold, I Googled it, and I was like, I was so satisfied that it was Zac Efron, and I only knew it because he had the cool hair. And I'm like, I don't know who any of these characters are. And, like, there was an acrobat, a female acrobat who's his love interest, and I'm like... What's her name? She has that one name. She was on a Disney show that my kids never watched. And I'm like, I felt like you with that name association thing that you do. And I'm like, yeah. What's her name? It's a weird name. What's her name?
What was her name?
Zendaya.
Who?
Yeah. I don't know any of the things she's done. She's really skinny.
Her?
Yeah, her. Like, I don't know half the... And then Michelle Williams is in, and I'm like, that doesn't even look like Michelle Williams. Like, that's not what she looked like on Dawson's Creek. That's how out of touch I am, that I'm like, are you sure that's Michelle Williams?
I think the Marvel movies are helping me learn newer actors.
You learn the differences between the Chrises?
Well, yeah, see, I wouldn't call Chris Hemsworth a newer actor. I mean, I liked him in 2009, and he played Kirk's dad in Star Trek. That was him. He was great. He was great.
Was it that Hemsworth? Are you sure?
Yeah, I think that was Chris.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth. And, but yeah. Yeah, you're right. You lose it sometimes when you move on, the ability to...
Songs play on the radio and my friends make fun of me because I have no idea who they are.
That's going to happen, though, because think about how your parents react. Well, your parents were from Russia, but my mom was, an American and is an American. And so she grew up with top 40 songs. So by the time I started listening to music in a serious way, where I was buying CDs and stuff, she was, oh, you kids and your Tool and your Weezer. And,
not even that I don't know it or anything like that. Like, songs by, I guess, I don't know, Beyonce. Everybody knows who Beyonce is. And I have no idea. I was like, oh, there's a new one by her. And she's like, this song's been out for like 4 years. And I'm like,
yeah, but that's really? that's also a genre difference. Like, if it was a new Muse song, you would have known, you would have recognized his voice, and been like, oh,
I went to that bowling alley for my friend's birthday recently, they played all rap videos on the screens. First off, it felt like I was in a strip club.
Yeah, but we live in Brooklyn. That's
and
where,
I'm watching.
I mean,
this,
Queens.
And I.
I mean, we live in New York,
yes.
So rap is.
No, I get it.
It's the big thing
and
over here.
And there's all these videos of rap stars and these rap videos and. There was a lot of, like, there was a lot of booty shaking. And I'm texting my friend, and I'm like, who's this? And who's that? She's like, seriously? She's like, you don't know any of these people? And I'm like, I was like, this isn't even my genre. I was like, I'm too old to be standing here. I was like, it's too
fine.
Loud.
That's not because you're old. It's because you don't listen to that stuff. Not that stuff. I'm not saying.
There was a video.
I personally don't like rapping.
DJ
even.
Something with a K.
Something with a K. That I know that
and
hit.
He puts his kid in all of his stuff.
DJ Something with
and
a K
with
Justin the kid.
And then they had Justin Bieber there, which I only know one Justin Bieber song.
I think when I started hearing, I think I decided not to listen to new popular music anymore when I heard the name Justin Bieber, and then like looked it up, like YouTubed it, and I saw what a Justin Bieber was, and I just decided, yo.
I'm
stepping back
songs.
From popular music. I don't want to know about it anymore. This is disgusting. If this dude is what's popular today, then nope, I'm out.
No,
and I'm just listening
to that one
to
song that like love you, love yourself.
Please stop it. Stop
but
it
really
it.
Means
no.
F yourself.
Yeah, he's extremely
but it's
talented.
Like, it's like a ballad, but it wasn't written by him.
I don't care.
Who was it written by? Who's that other guy?
Care.
Hold on. That British guy that doesn't usually sound British anymore in America. He's red hair, and then he was on an episode of Game of Thrones as a. Lannister soldier singing.
Errol Simpson.
No, hold on.
Chekhov Nightstand.
No.
Simpy Nick's Cheek.
Damn it.
Bimpy Washington.
No.
Errol Flynn.
No, you said that already.
Floofy Johnson.
You don't even know his name. You're just saying words.
Fickle Priest.
It can't be that.
Nigel Foreskin.
No.
Zippy Bimped Up.
No.
Tom Crinkle.
He does that song that everybody plays at their weddings.
I honestly don't know who he is.
It'll come back to me eventually. Moving on. The other thing I wanted to say is there are method actors. Getting back to that point. And when I think of method actors, I think of like Christian Bale and Daniel Day-Lewis and Gary Oldman. Why are all these British actors method actors? We don't really have any American method actors.
That can't be true.
For crying out loud, the first time I heard Colin Farrell speak with a British accent...
Yeah,
well,
that was shocking to me.
I was like, he's not American?
Isn't Leonardo DiCaprio considered a very, very good actor?
Yeah, but I would never... I don't think anyone's ever said he's a method actor. Like,
sure?
Christian Bale becomes his role. Daniel Day-Lewis...
Wait, hold on a second. Okay. I get you. But hold on. Leo DiCaprio was in the J. Edgar Hoover movie, where he's in the fat suit and the bald cap and...
But he didn't gain the weight. Christian Bale...
Yeah, you're right.
Almost killed himself for Machinist.
Yeah, you're right.
Christian Bale then bulked up for Batman.
Yeah. That's an impressive dude.
That's crazy. Gary Oldman plays a door in a movie, and you're like, that's Gary Oldman?
He played a shoe once. There was a shoe in the corner of an attic.
Daniel Day-Lewis, for My Left Foot, had people pushing him around in a wheelchair because the guy could only use a foot, and the crew complained that they had to carry his wheelchair over everything because he couldn't move himself around.
I love Daniel
Day-Lewis.
He's
like, but I only have my foot. He got pneumonia for Kings of New York, Gangs of New York.
That's the one thing missing from Game
because he wouldn't put a coat on.
From Game of Thrones is... Is
Daniel
Day-Lewis.
He wouldn't put the coat on. You've heard this story.
Worn the coat. Yeah, there were no utensils
in medieval
at
times.
So there are no utensils in medieval times.
And they finally convinced him to go to the hospital because he wouldn't take medicine because they were like, they wouldn't have used antibiotics back then
because
there were no antibiotics.
We're just going way off topic.
So
though.
I don't know if Rutger Hauer or Turkle are method actors, but they are character actors. That really get into their roles. So there is a difference between it.
And I love it.
And I really respect these actors who really get to know their character.
Yes.
Because otherwise, I don't forget that you're Rutger Hauer on that screen.
I think a simpler way for me to say what I've been trying to say before was actors like these make fandom worthwhile.
Yes.
Every now and then you could stop and say, ugh, I'm wasting so much money on Star Wars DVDs every goddamn decade. But then somebody comes along and, I mean, Star Wars is a bad example.
Can I insult some actors right now? I don't mean to, but I want to use an example.
But an event will happen, a movie will come out, and you'll be like, yeah, man, this is worth it. I'm going to go buy that box set again.
There's some actors that are always themselves, even when they're on the screen. They never aren't them. When I watch an Angelina Jolie movie, it's always her on the screen. She didn't
I'm not gonna sit here and listen to you insult Angelina Jolie.
Okay, first off, I loved Hackers back in the day. Yeah. But every movie since then, she's still Angelina Jolie on the screen. And while that can be entertaining.
Even animated.
In,
what was it? Beowulf. She played Grendel's mom.
She's always Angelina Jolie playing a character.
Because she's a work of art.
Because she doesn't become that character.
She probably wants to, but they're like, no, your face is going to sell this movie. We're going to put you on a poster.
I don't even mean her look, because the look can stay the same and then she still can become the role. There has to be a point where an actor becomes so part of the character, whether he's a method actor or a character actor, that they are part of that role. It's not just Angelina Jolie on the screen.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference when you're watching movies like this. Like, we really appreciate Blade Runner because these actors became these characters. It's not Rutger Hauer up there. It's not Turkle up there.
I agree.
It's not Sean Young up there. She is Rachel.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford's always Harrison Ford, and that's always entertaining, but he's always Harrison Ford.
I sent a Facebook friend request to Sean Young.
Are you leaving me for Sean Young?
If she accepts the friend request, I'm going to direct her to the episodes. Well, the show. Either way, I want her to hear the show. If it's really her. I think it's... I'm going to go ahead and just lie to myself and say it's her. And I'm going to tell her... I'm going to say, my wife insulted you a couple times. Because you were wondering why she didn't become a famous actress.
Not as an insult.
A big... No, but you can't say things like that to my future wife.
Because she should have been.
Oh, she is. She was and is and always will be.
No, what I mean is, why isn't she all over the place like Meryl Streep was all over the place? There's no reason she shouldn't have been.
I'm joking with you. Don't be mean to me about Sean Young. I'm just really excited that I saw an account on Facebook through a mutual friend that is saying she's Sean Young. And I was like, that's not Sean Young. But if it is Sean Young...
Get the divorce papers ready.
I'm just going to, yeah, just hang out with her. We're going to hang out all the time. That's what happens when you become Facebook friends with people. You go out all the time for tea and hot dogs.
And hot dogs. That's a weird combo, tea and hot dogs. Moving on to back to the minute, since we went railroaded off there by accident,
I apologize. Here's the detail. Here's the detail, the huge detail that I didn't want to mention in the last episode. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready? Do you have toilet paper? Because you're going to shit yourself when you hear this.
Oh, my God.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. There's a little logo or patch or whatever, like an embroidered thing in the shape of an owl on the left breast of Terrell's robe. It's got a little T on the bottom of it for
his monogram.
I never noticed it.
Like Gilderoy Lockhart on all his clothes has his G.
Yeah. I've seen this owl logo before. Like, I think I have a picture of it. I may have posted it already on our Facebook page, but yeah, I don't know. I think other people, it's so small. I can't imagine anybody ever actually being able to read it, but people have taken the general shape and put the Tyrell Corporation, like, just made up their own logos for it, and I love it. And so I finally noticed it in the movie. I never noticed that patch in the movie.
Okay, we're only like 10 seconds into the minute.
Yeah. Well, okay. You just went on a 15-minute rant about character actors.
My sinus medication kicked in, okay? There's a lot of caffeine in it. So he goes, what can he do for you?
He says, can the maker repair what he makes? Roy responds to Tyrell. Tyrell asked, what can he do for you?
Would you like to be modified?
Right.
And then Roy says, stay here.
Yeah, he tells Sebastian, stay here.
And that's when you see him fully let go.
And he
walks forward.
He's getting a little... I saw a little anger there.
Yeah.
A little anger. And he's letting go. Why is he telling Sebastian to stay there?
He doesn't need him. He needs to be closer to Tyrell.
But if he doesn't need him, why doesn't he just tell him you can leave? Is he planning on killing everybody in this room?
Probably. He wants a witness. Maybe he doesn't really want to kill JF. I don't really think he likes any human, so I don't think he cares about that. But it is like a bargaining chip in the room.
Well, you just said that it must be the most obvious thing to everybody else who listens to us and watches has watched this movie. That simple thing you just said. You don't think Roy likes any human?
Mm-hmm.
And it you stunned me just now.
Really?
Yeah, I never considered that.
Why would he? I don't think he's been no, of course, abused, it's been mistreated.
So, no, the math is totally. You just wrote down 1 + 1 = 2, and I was shocked. Like that's just, it's just something I missed in the story. Like, wow, he has a general disdain for all humans because they have the life that he wants.
No, not really that. Because they've mistreated him and his kind for his whole life. That's all he's ever known. Humans are mean. Mm. Humans are mean.
Okay, cool.
And he said, I had in mind something more radical.
Something a little more radical. What seems to be the problem?
Death.
So he's telling him, I hate just reciting the lines of the movie. Because they know the movie.
I know, but it's important.
So Roy is laying out to Terrell exactly what his issue is. I'm going to die earlier than I want to, and I want you to stop it. So, help me out.
Then says your favorite word. I didn't know it was your favorite word until...
Is my favorite word in this movie? Or is it my favorite word an actor has ever said?
That's what you had originally told me. Or you're it's going to be your favorite word.
Because who would think for him to say jurisdiction? That's out of my jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. And the delivery is fantastic.
Yes.
Because I didn't expect that word. It's really sweet. It's really clever.
And I'm afraid that that's out of my jurisdiction.
And he backs up. Joe Turco backs up right away.
Well, because Roy's advancing.
And Roy, did he?
Yeah.
You saw him move forward?
Mm-hmm. I think he's moving forward the whole time.
Okay. Because the shot was on Turco, though, right? Terrell? It doesn't matter. Whether Roy physically moved forward or not, his tone is intimidating enough.
Yes.
So I could see Terrell back, and he does. He backs up a couple steps. Right away, Roy interrupts him with another classic line: "I want more life, Father." Do you want me to take this, or do you
go ahead?
Do you know it though?
I know it.
You know the legend?
Yes, I know the legend.
That he says, "I want more life, fucker." Mm-hmm. And my version says, "I want more life, Father." Supposedly they're. Are a couple of different versions of the movies that swap out father and the F word.
I had heard somewhere online that they said that he purposely was told to say it in a way that it could be either. So that way, when they were playing it on TV, that they could put the word in and it wouldn't look as jarring.
Okay, by that explanation, I assume that the writer originally wanted the F word, the cuss word. Did you happen to look up why?
The same reason why Leon has all those weird one-liners throughout the whole movie, especially during the fight with Deckard.
But he never cussed.
Maybe to make it seem more like an adult movie? I don't know.
I guess this is the, I think,
profanity,
sorry.
I was saying...
Sorry, go ahead.
I apologize.
No, I apologize.
I don't really see a point for most profanity in movies.
Okay, but for this specifically, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that this is Roy's angry peak. He's waited so long to get in front of this guy, and he's letting his emotions get the best of him. Is that what this moment is? And he slips up and lets that F-bomb?
I guess, but I like it more as father because I feel it's more impactful.
Yeah.
To the whole scene that, like, he, your maker, father, he's giving him this... fake sense of you're in charge when clearly he's not in charge.
Well, it also makes Roy more sympathetic.
Yeah, like a child coming and asking for... Like, again, they're making him see, you know, like you're in charge, but you're not in charge. I'm clearly in charge. I think it's all really related. I don't feel like it needs the word fucker. Or focker. Well,
yeah,
probably how he said it.
What I'm saying, and I think you agree, but I just to be clear...
Why do you keep stealing my line? I haven't said it in so long because you keep saying
that. If Roy curses, he's not sympathetic. He's being abusive and aggressive. But if the way he says it in the version we're watching, father, when he says father, it makes him a more sympathetic character, which I prefer. I don't remember ever watching the version with the curse word. Do you?
I wouldn't have remembered that.
They said it's the theatrical cut, which I thought I'd seen, but
But who would remember that one word?
I would. You? What do you mean?
If you've only seen it once, you wouldn't remember the one word. And you've watched this version so often, so much that it's kind of like overlapped. And you, like the people who watch the special edition all the time now.
Of Star Wars?
Yeah, don't always remember the changes compared to the other ones. until they watch the other one.
That is so sad that you just said that.
It's true.
Because that's what Lucas wanted. And he said it over time.
It'll be deleted from the memory. Mandela effect.
Oh, gosh.
It's like it never happened.
No.
It's a glitch in the Matrix. No, they changed
it. Beak in the Sarlacc. No beak in the Sarlacc. They never had a beak.
And while Roy is saying all this, he does have that glow in his eyes. I don't know if you noticed it, he does have the glow in his eyes.
I don't even mention it anymore. The owl had the glow.
I think Tyrell backed up here. Like, Roy started to advance and said, I want more life, father. And his eyes were glowing, and Tyrell backed up.
It's possible, but no. He backs up after the line, that's out of my jurisdiction. He was about to say one more word, and then he immediately took a step back.
Maybe he backs up again.
He could keep backing up. Yeah, sure.
And then he says, the facts of life.
I had to play this a couple times to write it down. And I don't,
should we start singing the theme songs, Facts of Life?
I wanted to do that as a joke. And again, I hate that we're just reciting the lines of the movie right now. Mm-hmm. But I guess this is how you jumpstart a conversation. You say the lines from the movie, and then we ask. Because sometimes we fall into that trap, you and I, where we just recite the lines of the movie for about 5 minutes, and then we just kind of move past it. We don't talk about what we just said.
I think most of the time we talk about it.
So it's important.
Well, he does say the facts of life, and then he says to make an alteration in the, and it ends right.
Maybe for you, but I totally cheated.
Nope. I'm not talking about that. I
cheated
again. Watch it.
I went over a second or two to finish the line. You don't interrupt Joseph Terkel.
I know, but I didn't watch forward, so I can't talk about it. Can we talk about this Facts of Life?
So you don't want to talk about that second
I didn't even
half
listen to it. I don't know what they said.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I am not. Can we talk about the Facts of Life, please?
I want more time to listen to Joseph Terkel.
Then we will have more...
Father.
More minutes. Can we talk about the Facts of Life?
Yeah, what did you mean by that?
Death. Death is a fact of life. It's part of the facts of life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both in there, yeah.
And there you have the facts of life. You live, you die, everything dies.
If you live in... out of your... What does it say? When the world...
No, I'm going to let you do it. Go ahead.
Okay. Take the good, take the bad, take them both in there, you have the facts of life. Life. There's a time for... I don't know.
They can't hear you.
I don't remember it. No, don't hear me. This thing is real sensitive. It's an iPhone. It's an iPhone 6. The best that's out there. Top of the line.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh. He means death. Death is a fact.
I know
of
what he meant.
Oh, you said
meant.
What did he mean? So I'm telling you what
I think
he meant.
Yeah, I asked and I meant it. But okay. Now I'm embarrassed, so I'm going to go back and say I knew what he meant. Oh, no, I know, of course I know what he meant. I knew what he meant. It's just kind of a dick thing to say to this guy that's so angry, burst into your room in the middle of the night, snuck into your room. Technically.
Yes.
He must get it by now, Terkel. Tyrell. He must get it that something bad is about to happen. It's not like Roy called him up and said, hey, Dad, can I pop in? He tricked his way in.
I don't necessarily think someone telling you the facts of life is mean.
No, it's...
it's too blunt.
It's a dick response to...
But you can't cheat death.
To a genuine concern.
Yeah, but everybody dies.
Yeah, but you put your arm on their shoulder and say, I understand, I'm sorry, sit down with me, have a cup of tea. You don't say, that's life, buddy.
See, maybe that's why your unicorn with the phrase doesn't strike me as sad as it strikes you.
Explain. What unicorn, what phrase?
So, I don't know if you guys remember from earlier minutes, years ago I think right around the time Peter decided he wanted to do a Blade Runner Minute podcast, I made him an origami unicorn that I put in a shadow box. And artfully typed out with a retro font of some kind that said, what did it say, Pete?
It's too bad she won't live, but then again who does? And when I first read it, I loved it. First of all, I'm going to take a picture. I put it up. It should be on the Facebook page.
In the fan group, right?
But in the fan group somewhere. But I'll put it up again. It is gorgeous. And it's big, too. It's bigger than I would have expected.
Yeah, I couldn't make the teeny tiny one. My fingers, I guess. The first time I made a unicorn.
And the unicorn itself is big, and then it's on this beautiful piece of paper, and then in the shadow box, like she said, framed up, really nice. But the quote, it's a downer, that quote to me. And I'm not going to repeat the quote because I don't want to spoil the quote because it's still to come in this movie.
Well, but I said the quote just now.
But it is a downer to me.
I didn't think of it as a downer.
No, I don't mean I mean literally repeat it. Like I already said it once this minute. I don't want to say it again.
To me, it didn't feel like a downer because that is the reality of the situation. Everything dies.
Yeah, but Like, we're not emo. You can't say that to someone.
Maybe we
and,
are
and expect
emo.
It to be taken in a sweet or romantic way.
Maybe we are emo. To me, it seems okay. Like, everything dies.
But I know you meant it in a sweet way, so I take it as a
only because you love Blade Runner. That's why I did it. And what else, quote, would be associated with the unicorn other than that?
Well, not only the unicorn, but what romantic lines are there in, oh, you could have wrote I Dreamt Music.
But that has nothing to do with the unicorn. And this is that's the Blade Runner
what
quote.
Does that quote have to do with the unicorn? Because that's the guy that made the unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what? It was meant for...
Okay, we're going to talk about that unicorn later, so let's not talk
about
this now.
Yeah, I was about to go right into the unicorn.
But my point is, what the difference is, remember that episode of Sopranos where Tony was having an affair with his mom's home attendant who, what, she was missing a leg or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she goes, you Americans, with your therapy and your depression and your problems, she's like, the real problem is that you guys go into the world thinking everything's supposed to be fantastic all the time.
And then you fall apart.
And then you're shocked and you fall apart every time whenever things don't go the right way because that's life. She goes, Russians, on the other hand, we know it's all going to be shit, so we're not surprised and we just keep on moving.
I think every other country sees life that way. Life is hard.
And you just take the enjoyment where the enjoyment is
right.
And you just move on with your life.
Most people, most rational, logical, intelligent people expect life to be difficult, and when you get a nice moment,
you live it up and you take the shot
awesome.
Of vodka,
and then it's over with, and you expect it to end, and it's okay, whatever. I'll get another one day. But Americans are really, we do kind of crumble when things go bad. It's like, I have to wait online for breakfast. Don't you know who I am? That's
people aren't happy with the. You give them their way, and they're still not happy because you're not. Happy with having to change for them. I want you to like that you did what you did for me. I don't want you to just do it. You need to like that you did it. And I'm like, can I just not feel anything about what just happened? Like, does it matter if I like that I helped you or not? Can we this just move upon your day? You got your way. What's the difference?
I love that you're finally venting on the show. I love that you're finally
taking... It was a rough day, right?
I love that you've become me and you're opening up.
I had a rough day. Okay?
Because when I open up on the show now, I don't see the iPhone or the microphone upstairs by the laptop, or even
you
just
you see Paul and David.
I see Paul and I see
David
and Debbie
and
Alan and Brian and Matt, and I see all the lovely people that have
and
that
some of these new people that we don't know their names quite yet, but we're learning them.
Every single one of you guys that have chimed in, even with a simple like, and Jonathan and all these great people that have. That have become a part of my internet friend life thing.
They're friends. Just call them friends. It's fine. World. That counts. Because if they're ever in New York, they can totally hit us up and I'll come meet them.
Abso-friggin-lutely.
But I had a rough day today at work, okay? I had a very rough day.
Give it to us.
I've had a couple of rough...
If it's boring, I'll cut it out.
I've had a couple of really rough weeks. All right. But today was particularly rough because I gave in to some other parents at the daycare I work. Indifferently. Because I really didn't care one way or the other. And they don't like that I'm not happy with the changes and that I wasn't enthusiastic.
But you still did. I still did it.
And
still
I wasn't
accommodated,
even,
though.
Yeah, and I didn't even do it in an angry way. Like, I literally couldn't care any less than I did.
Yeah, but the problem is, see, now you told me the story. You told that all of everything you said is well and good. It's fine.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that you told them that you don't care. You said, I don't care. Do whatever you want.
People I said, well, I'll do whatever you want.
You still said, I don't. You literally said the words, right?
Yeah.
I don't care. You don't do that to people.
Yes,
especially Americans. They don't like that.
I don't care. It's been a rough
week. We're good. We got the minute in. We covered the minute.
You're just upset that we can't finish the Joe Turco line. I kind of like the suspense.
I'm not upset. You're right. I did skip. I mean, it did. I did. I was totally lying. I went over to the 0-1.
I knew you did. Because I was like, that was like 0-1 change.
Yeah, but I wrote on the paper. I cheated again and went over a second or two.
And then you try to play it off as you did it. And I'm like, no, you clearly did.
I covered that part
because
with my thumb.
This 0-0 was after in the, and I listened a little over to get the next word.
Look at my reasoning. You don't interrupt Joseph Turkel.
I'm sure you don't.
That should have overridden.
I don't even want to talk about the to make an alteration in the until the next minute because I want to do it all as a chunk.
That's fair.
I actually cut him off before he started the line.
Spread out the turkle.
Spread the turkle out.
Spread out the turkle.
Like Nutella.
Turk Turkleton. Where is that from? Is that from Scrubs?
Turk.
Turk Turkleton. Remember?
Yeah, Turkleton. He called him Turkleton all the time.
All right. Well, sir, what do you think my first name is? Turkle? You think my name is Turkle Turkleton or Dirk Turkleton?
Turk Turkleton.
We should rewatch that. That's on Hulu. Scrubs.
How do we watch that with the kids?
What do you mean? That was raunchy?
They're all raunchy. Who knew that Friends was as raunchy as it is?
Yeah, but we've been watching Friends in front of the kids, so we could watch
That's
Scrubs.
That's bad. We shouldn't have been watching Friends
Scrubs
in front
was
of the kids.
Awesome. We got to watch Scrubs again.
You recently were trying to watch it, and then you stopped. Because you're doing that new thing where you don't binge.
Yeah, I'm trying not to binge. I'm trying to watch one show at a time. An episode, I mean, of a show.
Yeah, and then a week later, I'm like, hey, let's watch the second episode of Westworld. And he goes, I just watched that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. That was a week ago. And you're like, I'm not binging. I was like, it's not binging if the next time you sit down to watch TV, you're watching the next episode. That's not called binging. That's called watching TV.
I really want to somehow incorporate Westworld into this podcast. Because I love comparing replicants to whatever the hell
the Westworldians are. Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Westworldian.
Okay, would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more?
Yeah, like
Oh, from Starship Troopers? Would you like to know more?
During the credits, we can have episodes that talk about other artificial life in comparison to this, and we can do an episode of each like kind, and we can make a list. So if you guys have any ideas of artificial life that you would like us to compare to the replicants in this movie that we can use for future during the credits.
We have
future episodes. We'll totally take that into consideration. Like
we have,
we could do the iRobot.
What were they? What were they called in Aliens? What they called Bishop and what was the other guy's name? Kane.
What were they called?
Hold on. What was Bilbo's name in Alien? Kane.
I don't remember that.
And then. The other guy was Bishop?
Yeah, Bishop.
Lance Henriksen was Bishop.
I didn't know we had a blank on board.
Kane? Was it Kane?
Why didn't you tell me you had a blank on board? What was the word?
Was it just a synthetic? Or what the hell is wrong with us? We don't remember they called the was it just androids? Maybe they were just androids. He's an android. They're just androids. I'm pretty sure they just say androids.
Just say androids.
I think Paul Reiser says something else, though. We always have a...
Synthetic
on board on these missions or something.
Whatever.
It
doesn't matter.
But yeah, that would be a nice list to make of these characters to compare.
So if you would like to add something to our list, so far we have...
The robots from Aliens.
Yes, and we have...
The Westworldians.
Sure.
We have the replicants.
Sure.
We have the replicants. And the replicants. You like that? I made that up. I invented that joke.
Are you going... I know you've never seen Bicentennial Man. Are we going to do that kind of robot, too?
I know of it, but he's just a straight-up robot, I thought.
Yeah, but...
And
he changes AI. Over time. Are we going to do shows, too, like Inhumans?
The Inhumans is a show?
No, the show Humans.
Oh.
Like Inhumans? Like the show... In the show Humans?
Yeah. Season 3 is on Prime right now.
That's fantastic.
You didn't watch
I got a thousand other things I need to watch first.
I would say Humans takes.
I got Supernatural. I just finally caught up on. All right,
stop it with your Supernatural.
I like Supernatural. Please don't make fun of Supernatural.
I really want to talk about why, at this stage of our show, I really would love to talk about why it seems like Tyrell doesn't want to help Roy. But I feel like we can't talk about that until we complete this last line.
No,
and
we can't.
You're saying we cut off the line.
I don't think we can even...
You don't want to cheat and talk about
it? I don't even think we can do it after this line. I think we need a few more lines.
Okay, so then what's the last full thought? He says...
Facts of life.
But that's not, because it's connected to the next line.
No, it's a period. Facts of life. He's telling you facts of life.
And you don't agree with me that he's being a little dickish with that response?
I think he is super smart. And
who? Tyrell.
Tyrell. Not necessarily people smart, just...
What I mean, by the way, is he's being insensitive.
I'm sure he's being insensitive, but I don't take it as insensitive when people talk to me like that.
See, that's because you're mean.
I am mean.
You know what? This
you know why?
Episode's over.
I'm Kurt.
It's over.
I'm Kurt.
Because you're a monster.
No, because I don't got time for your BS.
Listen, this guy has spent the last hour and a half watching his friends die on his way to try to figure out a way to change his fate.
You can't change the stars.
And he finally meets the guy.
But you can't change your stars.
All right. Who's that, Moana? All right, Django Fett. Who said that? I think, yeah, it was Moana said that, right? In the Moana. The guy. Maui says it to her. Can he? Doesn't he? Why aren't you answering me? Fish, hook, turtle. The guy from Flight of the Conchords. He's the crab, right? He's got the jewels on him.
That's not the same character.
Same thing. Same
thing. The guy with the hook and the crab are two separate characters.
Yeah, shark head. I get it. I get it. Rocks. Pile of rocks. Pile of rocks.
Hold on. Hold on. Let's see if you get it.
The mountain's higher.
You're getting it. You're getting it. What's his name in the movie?
Who?
The guy with the hook.
Maui.
Okay. What's the other guy's name?
Jango Fett.
The crab. Oh, the crab.
Oh. He's voiced by Jermaine Clement. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Ikisawa?
No, come on. I know. I want to hear you do this. I gotta make
I don't know. I don't know his name.
You totally know his name. It's gonna come to you.
I really don't know his name.
Yes, you do. Because there's a song. The first line of the song says his name. Now we have to watch Moana. We haven't watched it in a while.
Oh, darn. You're right. He says, Yeah, but it's like a weird name. It's like a...
Polynesian.
It's not a regular... No, but I mean...
It's not like Bill.
Exactly. It's not Bill.
Yeah.
I'm not going to remember it.
So you should, because it's just syllables.
I'm a simple peanut farmer, Sandra. I don't know your complicated...
You don't eat peanuts because they make your nose itch.
Polynesian name. I still eat them. I love me a peanut. Are you kidding me? I don't remember. Crab locks. Gob locks. Gobbledygooker.
Does that sound Polynesian to you?
Brooklyn Brawler. Red Rooster. Bobby Heenan. Warlord. That's... Barbarian. Arn Anderson. Tully Blanchard.
That's not... You're going the wrong way, dude. I'm surprised you're not just thinking Samoan wrestlers. That would have been way more interesting. You could have popped out with Yokozuna just now, and that would have made way more sense than Brooklyn
I was
going
to say Yokozuna, but I thought you were going to argue with me that he's Japanese, and I was about to
but
laugh
he's
at you.
Not
exactly,
Japanese.
Exactly. That's so racist, the things they did in wrestling, still do in wrestling.
Is
I thought
that
guy was
from?
Japanese. For like 10 years, I thought that guy was Japanese.
And the worst part is that people from all those parts of the world could look at him and clearly tell he's not.
We haven't talked about Blade Runner in like 10 minutes. And we've been recording all of this. All right, guys, stay tuned for minute 80.
Tematoa. His name is Tematoa.
I never would remember
but
that.
Tematoa hasn't always been this glad.
I thought that was his.
I
thought that was his neighborhood.
Once.
I thought he lived in Tematoma.
No.
Yeah, I thought that's where he got his packages shipped to.
It's not like an Amazon locker. He doesn't get his packages shipped there.
Mm. I love Amazon. I love picturing a nice Amazon box outside of the door.
I'd rather be shiny.
I'd like to eat it. I want to chew on Amazon. They ought to make a candy. That looks like an Amazon box, and you could eat it, like an edible Amazon.
Or like an Altoid tin that looks like a...
No, but I want to eat the box. Like, I love an Amazon box with the blue tape with the smileys and
should
all...
Should it look like the candy cassettes that I just recently got, that each one is a little cassette inside?
No, but it has to be big, so that's a good point. It has to be a giant super rectangle that I could eat.
I like the version of a small little boxes.
And what should it be? Should it be... It's obviously chocolate covered.
Okay, no, it should say shiny.
I gotta go.
No, I want to hear it.
Shiny. Later.